I'll invite you to take your Bibles out and open up to Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4 is our passage this morning. And while you're getting your Bibles open, getting ready for that, just say another word of encouragement about the Thanksgiving boxes and Operation Christmas Child boxes as well. That sounds like a lot of boxes we've got going on around. I hope we have some box closets to store them all in. But the Thanksgiving boxes get to reach our surrounding community, people close by, and the Operation Christmas Child boxes get to go all the way across the world. You know, the Bible doesn't let us pick one or the other, whether we're going to be involved in foreign missions or local ministry. It says we've got to be about all of it. So it's a great opportunity to combine these two ministries in some ways, working on them at the same time, and trying to bless people with the love of God wherever we can come in contact with them. So encourage you to participate, take part in both of those ministries. So Jonah chapter 4, we're wrapping up our series on Jonah Day. We've been here for 3 weeks already, 1 week in each of the first three chapters, and then today in chapter 4. Really fascinating passage today in some ways, and one that we're almost tempted to read over without paying much attention to it. And you'll see why as we read it and as we talk about it this morning, why it might be easy for us to think that kind of the important part in the action is over at the end of chapter 3, and chapter 4 is just kind of like some kind of little add-on. They needed some way to close out the book or something like that. But that's really not what's going on in chapter 4. Chapter 4 is really a summary statement. It's a restatement of the teaching of the entire book. It's a really important chapter. I don't know how you can say necessarily that one chapter is more important than another, but chapter 4 is really important. And we'll talk about it this morning. So let's read together Jonah chapter 4. I'll read verses 1 through 10. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Well, wait a minute. We got to stop for just a second, because if you weren't here the last couple weeks, you may not remember what's happened in the book of Jonah. So let me just give you a quick summary. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach a message from God to the people of the city Nineveh, which was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Jonah didn't want to, so he went, ran, didn't do what God said. Then he ran as well, got on a boat. The water got real rough because God was sending him a message that, no, you really need to do what I tell you to. So the sailors, in order to save the boat, had to throw Jonah overboard. God provided a fish to swallow Jonah for 3 days and three nights, and then vomit him back up on the shore. And then, chapter 3, Jonah receives the word of the Lord again. And God says, go to the city of Nineveh. We're starting over. Well, let's do this again. Go to Nineveh, preach the message that I'm going to give to you. Jonah goes in chapter 3, preaches the message, and to our surprise, the entire city of Nineveh, including its leaders, repent of their sin and turn to God. And that brings us to the beginning of chapter 4. So I should have given you that summary before we started reading. So let's read chapter 4 now. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, and in its shade, sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said, and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh,
in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Let's pray. Father, open up our eyes, as we've already sang together this morning, asking that you would take away any blinders that have clouded our vision throughout this week, throughout our lives up until this point. Maybe there are some people that have not had eyes to see, even up until this right very moment, but I pray that you would open up our eyes and allow us to see and revel in your gospel and in the grace that you have for the people of Nineveh and for Jonah and for us today. Help us to understand your word. Help me to be faithful to it as I preach. And this is what we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we get started with chapter 4, what in the world is going on here? What does this story about the plant mean? I mean, you could really just read this story and you're like, what in the world is going on here? Well, we're going to try to put the puzzle together this morning, all right? We're going to start off with a little bit of an outline. Here's my title for today. I love my leafy plant. I'm willing to bet that you have never heard a sermon by that title before. I love my leafy plant. Here's our outline. Verses 1 through 4, we see Jonah's hatred. Then in verses 5 through 9, we see Jonah's love. And verses 10 and 11, we wrap it up with God's compassion that he has. And he explains why in the world we're talking about this strange plant that grows up in one day and withers the next. So as we start off, we find out the background for why did Jonah run in the first place. Now, I alluded to this back in chapter 1 a couple weeks ago, but it's kind of interesting that when the book of Jonah was put together, that God didn't see fit to tell us why Jonah ran until right now. Back in chapter 1, we might have had to guess, or maybe you peeked ahead and you read ahead a little bit so that you knew what was going on. But why in the world would Jonah, a prophet of God, run when God told him to go preach his message? You might have thought, well, maybe he was scared about it, or maybe he just didn't like the message, or maybe he was just kind of grumpy that day and didn't want to do what God told him to. We don't know exactly what's going on until we get to chapter 4, and we find out that Jonah is very angry because he preached the message and then people believed it and obeyed it, which is a really strange attitude for a prophet of God to have, you would think, right? This is a signal early on in chapter 4 that we ought to read back into the entire book, that we are supposed to be distancing ourselves from Jonah and his attitude and his way of life. Why in the world would Jonah be angry? Why? It seemed very wrong. The language in the Hebrew is really strong here. You could kind of translate it, he was utterly disgusted by what had just happened. That would kind of be maybe a paraphrase of the way you could say it. He is really upset at this event that's just happened, the repentance of the Ninevites, that God's anger and his judgment has been withheld and turned away, even though that's what his message was, that he was going to preach to them. But Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Kind of interesting wordplay there. The word in Hebrew for angry is hot, and he's out in the desert here. In a little while, he's going to be hot. So, sometimes I was really hot, you may say, if you were angry. That's really literally what the word here means. And he became hot. He was angry. He was utterly disgusted by the fact that the Ninevites had repented and God's judgment was not going to fall on them now. Why would he be so angry about it? You remember a little bit of the details if you've been with us for the last couple of weeks. But just to review it, the Assyrian Empire was the ruling empire of the day. They were violent. They were oppressive. All the smaller countries surrounding them lived under constant fear that the Assyrians were going to deport them or commit some kind of violence against them. The Assyrians, they were very hated by the nations surrounding them, but they were utterly feared. They were disliked. People hated the Assyrians and the Ninevites. That's one of the reasons why Jonah probably had this attitude. You see some details about it in other books of the Old Testament, like Nahum is one example where the deeds of the Ninevites, you see what they did and why people would have feared them and been angry with them. So Jonah doesn't want to see this. He wants to see God's judgment come down on them. and he became very angry. He prayed to the Lord. He prayed to Yahweh. "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish." So there you go. There's the reason. That's why he ran, because he didn't want Nineveh to have an opportunity to repent. He didn't want them to have an opportunity to turn from their sin and to receive God's grace. He had already made the decision. They deserve God's judgment, and I want them to have it. I'm not going to do anything to stop it from happening. "This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." This is a verse that's echoed in many different places in the Old Testament. This is God's character, and Jonah knew what God's character was, and he was afraid to go and preach to the Ninevites because he said, you know, that gives them a chance that they might repent. We don't know if Jonah knew they would repent or not. We probably think that he didn't know one way or the other. He just didn't want them to have the opportunity. He knows, well, if they don't have the chance to repent, then God's judgment's certainly going to come. If I go and preach, maybe it's just a 1% chance, but there's still a chance, and I don't want to do it. "Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." We see the true hatred and the ugliness of Jonah here. Sometimes when we read the book of Jonah, we start to think of him like he's kind of a good guy, like, oh, he's this great missionary that took God's message to this city that needed to hear it, but he did it with the complete wrong attitude. He did it basically after being forced by God. It seemed very wrong, and he became very angry. So right here, we're seeing a great divide being created in the book. You have Jonah over here with his hatred, his intolerance, his lack of compassion, and then you have the true hero of the book of Jonah, who is God, Yahweh, the God of Israel, who is compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love. And the question that we have to ask when we see Jonah's attitude is, who are we like? Are you like Jonah, or are you like God? God's compassion is greater than ours. We have to do the job of raising our level of compassion to where God is. That's exactly what Jonah didn't do. We could understand it for somebody in Jonah's position who's been under oppression and has experienced a lot of negative things and knows some terrible things about the Ninevites, why he might originally start off being angry with them and hating them. But when God's message came and God said, I want you to go and let them know about the disaster that's about to happen to them, it should have been time for Jonah's attitude to change. It should have been time for compassion to grow within him. But instead, he does the exact opposite. He disobeys God. He runs, and he never changes his attitude. Even here at the very end of the book, Jonah is angry that God has relented from sending calamity on the Ninevites. "Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." That's a little bit of a different song than Jonah was singing just a couple chapters ago, right? You remember chapter 2? Jonah got thrown into the water and he was about to drown and the seaweed was wrapping around his head. You remember him talking about this? And then God sends the fish to save him. And what does he say back then? "But you, Lord God, you brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. You listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths." And just a few verses later, "To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. I had no chance of escape, but you rescued me and you delivered me." So he sings this song in chapter 2 about God's greatness in delivering him. But he doesn't want God to deliver anybody else. He's willing to praise God when I receive the benefits, when I receive the goodness. It's all good. But you turn it around to my enemies, I see them get God's grace, and I'm so angry I want to die, is what Jonah says. You know, the book of Jonah was written for us to hold up a mirror to ourselves and to our own lives, and for us to be reminded that there are times in life when there are people that we really have no grace and compassion toward. And they may have done some terrible things. They may be some really evil people. But when are you going to allow your heart to match God's heart and live in compassion for everyone, regardless? God is our judge. We leave it to Him at the last day. We know that people that don't repent and trust Christ will receive His judgment for all eternity. That's what the Bible clearly teaches. But our job is not to discriminate. It's not to choose who does and who doesn't hear the message. It's to proclaim and to preach and to make sure the message gets out in as many different ways as we are physically able to see it happen. Take the message everywhere, to Nineveh and the farthest reaches of this world, regardless of the cost, because God has compassion for these people, for everyone. And we see Jonah's hatred here. And it ought to take your breath away. This is Jonah. Let's not be like Jonah. But maybe you say, well, let's not be so hard on Jonah. He does have some love after all. The Lord replied, verse 4, is it right for you to be angry? That's a great verse. He repeats almost the same wording down in verse 9. We'll talk about that in a minute. But next goes on to a story where Jonah does have some love. Jonah is not all about hatred. He loves something very much. So what happens? Jonah goes out and he sits down to a place east of the city. He probably started toward the west side of the city when he was preaching and worked his way east. That may be what happened, why he went to the east. No special significance to the direction there. It just happened to be the side he went to. Then he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. So what is going on here is that they are in a desert-like area. It's hot and windy. It's a very treacherous place to try to live and say, but Jonah wants to stick around because he's still hopeful the judgment's going to come. He's still hopeful that he's going to see this kind of fireworks display, something like Sodom and Gomorrah, pretty much. You remember earlier in the book of Jonah, we saw how some of that language was reflected in Jonah's message. He thought maybe God was going to rain down some fire on Nineveh, and he was going to get front row seat for it. So this is why he sticks around. He wants to see God's judgment come down on them. And he's told them that 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's chapter 3, verse 4. So he knows he's got to stick around for a little while. So if he's going to do it, he needs a shelter. So he could have found some rocks and built him a kind of makeshift shelter. Not really, it wouldn't be a tent. You know, I don't know exactly what kind of rock shelter building would be called, but this is the kind of thing that he's building. Okay, and he can find probably plenty of that kind of stuff around that he needs. But finding something for a roof is a little bit more difficult. Normally, to build a roof on some kind of building or shelter during this time, you would need some kind of timbers or maybe what we would call lumber. You'd need to go to Lowe's and get you some 2x4s maybe. But they don't have that kind of wood very prevalent in this area of the world. So what he probably did was he searched around, and if there was any leftover firewood or scrap wood, brush, he probably tried to cover up the shelter as best as he could, but it just didn't do a very good job when the sun is this intense and the weather is this unforgiving. So Jonah's pretty uncomfortable while he's waiting up here, and God provides a plant. You remember the word provides from different places in Jonah? God provided a fish to swallow him. Well, God provides a plant. This is God's provision. This is the providence of God that Jonah finally gets some relief from all this warm weather. And there's actually a kind of wind that blows in this part of the world. And I can't explain exactly how it worked. I was reading about it. It said that it had like positive ions in it. And it would be really hot, and it would affect your brain, like actually some chemicals that are in your brain, it would actually affect your brain levels, and it could kind of make you go crazy and insane with the kind of weather that's going on here. In fact, they were saying that in some legal cases over in this part of the world, that being subject to this kind of weather is actually a mitigating factor in your punishment. If you had done something wrong while this kind of wind was happening, I forget the exact name of it, it starts with an S. But if this wind was going on, you could actually get a less harsh punishment because it kind of made you insane a little bit. And this is probably what Jonah's going through. It's extreme terrible weather that he's going through. So he finally gets some relief. Then the Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. A minute ago, he was so angry he could die. And then a plant grows up and gives him some shade, and now he's very happy. I mean, you wouldn't be surprised if there were some psychological problems going on here, you would think. I mean, you wouldn't get that happy about just a plant, but that's what happens. Jonah's very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided, you hear that word again? God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. There's the wind I was telling you about. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." Remember that mirror I was telling you about a little bit earlier? Let's hold it up to ourselves again. Jonah, exceedingly happy about just the slightest bit of comfort that he could receive in what he was going through in life. I'm very happy when I'm comfortable. Life is good. I may be in a rocky shelter on the east side of a city, have nobody to talk to. Who knows where he's getting his food? He probably could find some food somewhere. He'd go into the town, you know, eat on a food truck or something like that. There's nothing appealing about this. He's just sitting around waiting for God's judgment to fall on the city. But he's very happy because he's got a little bit of comfort. And the comfort is taken away, and suddenly he's very angry again. Jonah's not the hero of this story. And in fact, we get in trouble a lot of times when we think that the Bible characters are often the heroes of their story, because the hero of the Bible over and over again is God himself. But think about Job, who's a great example here. What did Job say? "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I would point you in that direction as an attitude that when we're thinking biblically about God's provision, God provided a plant, he provided a worm, God gave, God take away, blessed be the name of the Lord. But what is our attitude much more often than that? God gave, praise God. You took away, my hands are on my hips. I am angry about this. How dare you take away what you have given? I'm angry. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" I mean, think about it, really. Is it angry for Jonah to be angry? Is it right for him to be? Does he have any right to be angry about it? God gave it to him one day. He took it away the next. What right does Jonah have to be angry? None. But that's the same question he just asked about Nineveh. What right do you have, Jonah, to be angry that I've decided to dispense my grace to this city? Is it right for you to be angry? So this is why the story of the plant is really a small picture of the entire book of Jonah. This is really where the message of the book of Jonah comes in, is that God is a compassionate God, and he freely gives his grace and his forgiveness to those who trust in him. And we have no right. Jonah had no right, and we have no right to think that we have anything to say about it, to think that we know better than God. God, that person shouldn't receive your grace. God, that plant shouldn't have been eaten by a worm and die. God is sovereign and he provides as he sees fit. And we have no right to question his grace and his provision and even his taking away when he chooses to do that. But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry I wish I were dead." Think about Jonah here. "I'm so angry I wish I were dead because I had a plant that was giving me shade and now I'm in the sun again and I wish I could die." In some ways, I want to be a little bit sympathetic to Jonah, because put in the same kind of situation, you and I may have the same kind of attitude. You know, you have a bad day, things are going wrong, and you stub your toe, and then it's just that much, it's 10 times worse than it would be if it would happen on a good day. You know what I mean? It's just like everything around you is falling apart. Nothing is going right lately. And everything is just piling up one on top of the other. And this plant, as meaningless as it might seem, is just kind of the last straw for Jonah. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. But the point of the fourth chapter of Jonah, the Lord said, I have great concern. Should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Jonah was concerned about the plant. You and I get concerned about our plant sometimes. I love my leafy plant. It helps me feel better. And how many times do our leafy plants take the place of true godly compassion for people created in the image of God? Even sometimes people that for various reasons we don't like and we seem to distance ourselves from. Maybe they live on the other side of the world. Maybe they worship a different God than we do. Maybe they have a different skin color than we do. All kinds of different reasons. Maybe they come from a different political party than you do. And you have a hard time having compassion. All you have is anger and bitterness toward people that disagree or think different or look different or have more money or have less money. When is God's compassion going to become our heart? When are we going to stop pointing fingers at everybody else and saying the sin that's all around us and realize that our compassion has to be raised to his level? That's why God sent Jonah to Nineveh, to show that he is a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. And that is the God that we see revealed to us in Jesus Christ himself, living a perfect life, dying on the cross as a substitute for our sins. And anybody that's here today, if you will place your faith in him, that same compassion that we just read about from God, it can belong to you. God can forgive you, and he will forestall his judgment over your life because he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Turn to Christ while there's still time left, if you haven't already. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing a closing song. Father, it's been our joy to study the book of Jonah together these last few weeks. God, we praise you for your salvation, that when we were drowning in the depths of our sin, we had no hope, we were as good as dead, that you made us alive in Christ. And we sing with Jonah, salvation belongs to the Lord. God, there is so much good that we see in you and your character, the compassion that you have, and so much that we ought to avoid that we see in Jonah, God. So help us to hold up that mirror to us and to our lives and our minds, our thinking, our hearts. Help us to raise our level of compassion to yours. God, open up our eyes. Let us see your character and your love for the people around us, and help us to live lives sold out, doing whatever it takes to get your message and your love to them. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.